Just close your eyes and see it from the depths of your heart. And touch it, Jesus.
And your life our Lord Jesus, as we call upon His name tonight, let us just have faith and hold those needs that we have in our hearts. We also have a special request for Mother Ellis Joseph's daughter Esther. I'd like them to bring the baby. Pray for her. She's been suffering with a very high fever for some time, and it's been causing her to go into like convulsions. Pray that God would just grant her deliverance tonight. He is faithful and He's true. Glory and praise be unto His precious name. And if you have a special request, you believe also, let's just believe tonight with the great faith that God have deposited in our hearts, this great gift of faith to believe Him. May we exercise, and may our God prove that He truly is the greatest. There is none like unto Him. Blessed be His wonderful name. But Abraham says God just loves to show how great He is to His people. Just like that Mama Eagle just loves to show how great she is to those little ones. May we try out the wings of faith and love that He has given unto us tonight, that we could see His word made manifest. Blessed be His name. If two shall agree as upon touching anything, it shall be done. Amen. Almighty God, we thank You tonight, Father, for these that stand in Thy presence holding the needs that they have in their hearts. We consider it a blessed opportunity to come into Your presence. And Lord, knowing that You care for us and You made it possible for us to come right before the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy. We never want to walk away with our burdens, Lord, when we have the opportunity to come and lay them down at Your feet. For You said, cast our cares upon You because You care it for us. Almighty God, I pray tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that You, through Your divine grace, because of Your presence that is here, and because of needy ones that is here also, the Spirit of the living God would look, Lord, in their direction tonight. And Father, as they believe, reaching out and touching You, the great high priest, who can be touched by the feeling of their infirmities. Oh God, out of Your bountiful grace and mercy, You would cause Your healing virtue, Lord, to flow out tonight, Lord, and reach these, oh God, and You would touch them. Father, them that are believing, O God, for divine healing. Then them, O God, who have another need, Lord, whether it's a domestic need, a spiritual need. Lord, even though it's a financial problem, we see in the Bible when people, oh God, had need, Father. Lord God, it didn't have the substance. Even your own self was in that kind of situation. But through the divine operation of the Holy Spirit, Lord, all these needs was met regardless of what they are. And you said, our God shall supply our needs even according to His riches. Not our riches, but according to your riches, Lord. And your riches are unsearchable tonight. Oh God, I pray, Father, there will not be one that is standing in your presence and is believing and looking unto you, but Father, receive out of your bountiful treasure tonight, that they could be encouraged and be strengthened and established and settled, knowing that you care for them and you, Lord God, have remembered them tonight. You have seen the need. You have looked upon them. As you told Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people. I hear their cry. I know what they have need of. And I am come down to deliver them. Oh, you are still that same God tonight, Father. And we know you have come down in this day. You have descended, Lord, with a shout. And you have identified your presence in the midst of your people. Oh, God is not unrecognized amongst us tonight. We recognize it, Lord. That is why we draw near with a heart full of faith, believing, oh God, and calling upon you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, so let it be done for the assistance of thy people, even as we pray and ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Amen. Is the sister here with the baby? She can still come. I'm just waiting for her. Also, we have a little dedication tonight. Brother and Sister Curtis Carr, our little baby girl, Susanna, faithful. I tell you, these saints of God, they could just reach out and, amen, receive God's blessings. It was a little late in coming, sister, but nevertheless, amen. God's right in time. Amen. Let us pray. The dear child have been suffering. Satan have been trying to just afflict her and make her little life so miserable. But we know our God cares. And may His great divine presence overshadow her and His love just sweep over and drive that devil so far away. And restore back to her health and strength and deliver from this condition. We believe He will do it. He's a prayer answering God. And we know He's here present amongst us tonight. Father, the devil know he must leave this child, Lord. And you're already trying to resist that, but he has to leave because of your precious blood, because of the stripes that you bore on Calvary, because of the faith and the promise you have given unto your church. And dear God, because this little child is covered by that precious blood, and she's part of a believing family and have been dedicated right here in the house of God. And we stand here tonight laying hands upon her and rebuke this sickness in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you are defeated. You must leave this child. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to leave her, Satan. Gracious God, may your divine presence so overshadow this child and strengthen her, Lord, and restore back their health. May this condition leave her completely and may she be well. For the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, faithful Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God be with you, sister. Amen. We have the dedication. But then, Sister Carr, I guess everybody a little slow tonight, late, but nonetheless, we are thankful to of the babies, and is this the third one or the second one? Second, amen. I think everybody want to have a big family like me. Amen. Really appreciate Brother and Sister Kai, amen. Been real faithful in the house of God ever since we have come to know them, been married right here, and now a growing is what you call a growing family. Amen. May God give them their heart's desire. And that is the little baby girl, and they call her Susanna Faithful. And you know, Susanna means a lily, and faithful, he is faithful, he is faithful. Amen. He's called faithful and true. Blessed be his name. Bow our heads, we dedicate our little sister here. Almighty God, for each one of us, you made a provision in your great kingdom, and the blanket of your precious blood covers, Lord, everyone that was in your mind. Your great Holy Spirit that is present here, that has worked, is working, and will continue to work in all of our hearts, so that our great purpose would be fulfilled. We thank you, Lord, that even a little newborn babe has a place, has a time. No wonder Solomon says, for everyone, for everything, there's a time and a season. This is her little time, Lord, allotted for her in your great program. We thank you, dear God, for the family into which she's born, because we know that she's going to receive a real Christian example. She's going to receive the an upbringing at the hands of faithful parents, Christian parents, Lord. She's going to grow in a home that is established upon your word. It means, Lord, that you care for her, Lord. And even all these things you've ordained, giving her parents that know the Lord, and giving her a family, Lord, that is serving you and walking in the present truth of this hour. That of itself is a great privilege, to be born in a condition like that, where truth and righteousness can prevail, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you kind of bless Brother and Sister Khan. Kind of grant them the grace and the strength and the divine leadership of your Holy Spirit in their service unto you. And Lord Jesus, this little darling girl that you've given unto them, Susanna Faithful, that I hold in my arms tonight to dedicate her unto you for a life of service, I pray and ask your richest blessings upon this girl. May the peace of God that passeth all understanding fill her little heart. And may, O God, you grant her health and strength, and may she go in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And Father, may she be a great blessing and encouragement even unto her parents and to all that you have ordained her life to be a little shining light. O God, may you grant it. May by faith tonight, as we place him in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, she be covered and protected from all harm and danger and every attack of the enemy. We commit her into your faithful hands, Lord, for a life of service, and dedicate her in the precious and lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May she fulfill your purpose and bring glory to your name. We ask it. Amen and amen. Amen. But then Sister Rojas, we'd like to thank the Lord for a safe delivery of a baby boy and yesterday, amen. So he has a growing family too. Sister Cheryl Gonzalez, we'd like to thank the Lord for delivering her from abdominal pains after prayer. And we just want to just get right into the word now. Let's just turn to the book of Daniel. And I trust you've been reading in the book of Daniel. How, let me see, lift your hands if you've been reading Daniel. Let me see how many people here have been reading in the book of Daniel. Well, quite a lot of you haven't been reading. I've been preaching here on Daniel over and over and trying to just get it open up in a way that we could really draw inspiration from it for ourselves at this time. And you need to read in it because there's things that need very particular attention. There's things that you need to familiarize yourself with, and there's things that is written in great detail in this book. And the Holy Spirit don't use space and words just, you know, for formality. When God, every word in this Bible, it has a purpose. It's put there for a reason. And you know, sometimes when we would read certain things, you know, we maybe may not understand it right away, and it kind of discourages people when they read and they don't understand what they read. But you think about Daniel, when he tried to ask for the understanding, and God still didn't show him and say, "Don't bother, Daniel, just sit up for the latter days." And you know, his head hurt him, and he sought God, and he still didn't even get the understanding right then and then of many things. Some God gave unto him, some he could recognize being fulfilled. But you know, it didn't discourage him, and it didn't hinder God from giving him more things like that, because sometimes God have a purpose in doing things that way, amen, to cause us to believe and to know that God knows the future. That's why people get dreams and don't even understand it, and then years pass and the dreams come to pass. What did God do that for? Why would he give them something they never understood? And even when it came to pass, he had to show them back and say that was the fulfillment 2 years after. So even when the fulfillment came, they didn't understand it either. But God shows us in ways that he knows the future, and he can show us things to come, and then we can learn to trust God and believe God in other things that he will show us concerning the future. So when God show you things about what's going to happen in this world, and you're faced with great challenges, and you're faced with great decisions, and you're tempted to want to hold on to certain things, they look like great opportunities, but because you know the future, you know the will of God, you can just walk away from it. Amen. And that is why Jesus, because he so believed he was going to raise again, because he so believed those things, he could give up what was like opportunities of great fame and position. You ever thought of that? It was because his faith. If he didn't believe he's going to raise again, he could take all the kingdoms right there he's been offered. He could become king right there when they wanted to make him king. When they wanted to accept him, instead of he knowing they was going to reject him afterwards. You see, faith makes you move in strange ways. There's no power like that. That if real faith could strike our hearts. That's why God, you know, with the prophet many times, he'd show him visions about animals. He's going to hunt. He said, "God, why you show me visions about these things?" God said, "When you get in the prayer line, you will learn to believe. When I tell you something, you're going to be healed or raised from the dead, you could believe it afterwards." He trained him in these things. And sometimes he causes us to believe when we read his word. When you have an experience with God and you know about him and you know his ways and how he works, it becomes easy for you afterwards to just take God's word into your heart. And regardless of how many people try to move you, regardless of how much your own flesh and your own reason try to move you from it, you will stand there, because you know heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. Friends, I guarantee you, many of our lives could be so much different tonight if that was real inside of us. That we know God's word cannot fail. We wouldn't even reason with it if we know it cannot fail. Amen. Daniel chapter 7. Now, as I told you, I'm not taking it verse by verse and chapter by chapter. But when we finish, we're going to really would have covered the whole book. Because I know that there are certain things sometimes that we can maybe emphasize in a particular chapter, but I don't just want to bring it like a commentary type of a study, but I want to bring it more relevant to ourselves at present. So that's the intent. I'm going into the book to take the things, because it's a prophetic book and it was given to us and preserved all these years, and we can have it today, because in this book it lays things that is happening in the last days. And that's what God told Daniel, and we are living in that time, and those things are coming to pass right now. Daniel 7 verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Notice that. We're going to look at some of those things, because that is one of the ways that God hide the revelation in this book of Daniel. The book is not written in sequence. The book is not written in continuity of events. And we're going to see that you know, some things that you written in chapter 5 happen long after what you read in chapter 8 and 9. But, you know, God write it like that, so it remains hidden inside of there. Except the Spirit don't reveal it to us and present it to us in the right manner, we won't get it. But God give us clues like this. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told us some of the matters. Now we can easily understand that, because we know to really interpret a dream you have to see it over in a vision. So it was his own dream that he saw over in a vision. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle wings. And I beheld till its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. A symbol. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between its teeth. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. He could easily identify the first three. A lion, a bear, a leopard, but this thing was a monster. 10 horns, it was diverse. It wasn't like something that you could make out in the world in God's creation. You could make out a bear because you always saw a bear. He saw a lion because they had many lions in Babylon. See? He knew an eagle because he knew eagle feathers. But with this thing, what he saw, he had never seen that nowhere before. He said, I consider the horns, because in the vision, it was outstanding, and he was impressed to look at the horns, because it's all in vision. It's not with the natural mind now. It is the operation of the spirit, because you don't see a vision if you want to see a vision. But something was being transmitted to him, and he is impressed to look at certain details of what is being communicated to him. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. That was 11 horns. I had 10 of them, and there was another one coming up. before which there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Let us pray. Almighty God, if we were to see the very literal visions, a replay of what Daniel saw, same as you had given Daniel a replay of what Nebuchadnezzar had seen, Lord, our understanding would still be unfruitful, though we would see it in technicolor, though we'd pay emphasis to the horns and everything else in the vision, though it may move us emotionally to see such a great phenomena. But yet, if your Holy Spirit don't reveal and give us understanding, whether we read it here and believe that it was a true, is a true record of what was seen, Lord, it would still have our understanding unfruitful. But we ask tonight that you would give us a true understanding, knowing that your word was written and preserved and been handed to us in this hour. And believing, O God, that it pertains to things that is happening in the last days, that we will benefit and be prepared and know how to live, and would have a clear understanding of your will being revealed to us through your word allotted for this time. Bless us tonight. Even your servant, Lord, will try to speak on these things. Lord, I know my inability and my insufficiency to try to bring these things to your people. But depending upon you, the Holy Spirit, and the promise you said, when the Spirit of truth is come, will bring back things to remembrance, will show us things to come, will teach us all things. And knowing, Lord, that a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit. Not just comparing scripture with scripture, though that is good. But you're going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. Then, Lord, may you take a hold of our minds. May your mind, Lord, come down. Your great intelligence. Make these things so plain that even the simplest of us tonight could grasp the understanding. Would cause us to have a passion to know your word. Would cause us, Lord, to love your word and search your word, Lord. You search the scriptures. Hallelujah. We believe your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Believe in the cunningly devised fables, Lord, but it's a more sure word of prophecy. A light to shine. Bring us out into that perfect day, to that kingdom of the God of heaven. Let it lighten our path tonight and give us faith to walk in it, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. I was speaking on Sunday on the subject, what shall come to pass hereafter, and I want to just continue there again tonight to a second part and try to bring that to us that we could see the reason why God foreshowed these things, preserved it, and even sent a prophet to reveal these things unto us in the last days. And you know, we have been in this book of Daniel, and we've been bringing little messages here and there, but it all is to lay a little background and begin to help us that we could tie those things together with the book of Revelation when we begin to get there, because there's no way we could study Daniel and then don't get to Revelation and compare those things back and forth. And that's where I had originally started, when we took the seal of God and the mark of the beast, and I started in there with the 11th hour Gentile workers and the seal of God and these things from the book of Revelation. But seeing that, bring up the mark of the beast and all those things, then we'd have to get the beast and the man of sin and those things that is prophesied to take place, and believing that this changing world and this new world order that is coming in is these things beginning to come to pass before our eyes. And that means it is the beginning of the end. Because when these things come to pass, the church must go, because she will not be here when the man of sin is being revealed. And when you see the nations heading for war like that in the whole world and the brink of destruction, then God will not let that take place until He seal His servants in their forehead, that they will not be caught in that destruction. And then in the light of these modern events that is happening and this new world order that is being identified because of these modern events, we could not say it was a new world order coming in and identify certain characteristics of that old order if we didn't see some situation that caused it to come into expression. In other words, we could have called the world that was back there a cold time of the of being dominated. That's what they called, because they could have seen it was the behavior of the nations. It was a world that came into existence, a world order that emerged after World War II. Because when World War II had finished, there were certain nations that were devastated. If you're going to talk about it, it was a people without a nation. You had people like the Jews who was coming back to become a nation. You had people like Germany and Japan who was destroyed as a nation. You had communism rising and separating the world. So that kind of world was not known before the war. But that type of world emerged after the war. And that caused us to be educated a certain way. Do you know that? If we had ended up when the lines was drawn in a communist world, we'll be educated under that type of system. But we end up under this type of system, a capitalist system. And then that's why we educated this way. And we look to the heroes of this type of our world. But the people who have lived in Eastern Europe and them places, who when those geopolitical lines was drawn and find themselves under that kind of ideology, then their trade and the relation with nations and all these things was different. Because war changes the world always. And sometimes we don't realize that controls us and influences us. That controls your buying. That determines whether you're going to live in poverty for most of your life. While people don't have their own tractor, their own, you know, farm all and their all the different things. You know, the machines of industry and all these things, and you know, they could, you know, go into great projects, and people individually had their own private farms and different things. You had people outside there with a horse and a plow in Eastern Europe. I mean, I don't know, they're still coming out of that now. But when I was there in 1988, when we went there, we saw it. People had the farms with horse and plow and different things like that, way back. That you might read was a past age, but for those people it was a present age. But for the West, where craft prospered, that was a past age, because technology had brought them into a new age. There was an industrial revolution that moved in such a way and brought such drastic changes in the West, because of science and invention and these things, that those things were something of the past. But where those things was not predominant in that type of society, you had people who is 30, 40 years, and you know, they're like a little farm boy in a farm. They don't have no great, you know, maybe can't even own their own home properly yet. Maybe, you know, working hard and their body all worn out, and they're looking old, like maybe 50 and 60, because of the type of condition they've had to live under. You know, the kind of pollution and different things. And then over in another country, somebody have a nice home, and somebody, you know, have a nice farm, and they have the industrial area zone in one place, and they have this zone in another place, and they have the highways built a certain way, and they have the schools in a certain environment, and everything else. Like, you know, we was coming up the highway this evening. I didn't even know how to be saying this here, but, you know, we used to come on the highway, and my little boy, David, you know, he was passing right by Trintok on the highway, and he saw the nice, big, green grass, and the play field, and everything else. And he said, Daddy, what is that? Who that belong to? He said, what they have there? So I said, that's a school that they have here.
I said, they have the white people inside of here, you know, and they have this school for them to send the children to where they work inside of here. And, you know, he wanted what kind of school. He said, well, a school like your school. So he said, well, anybody could go to that school. Right? But I know where his man was going. So I say, you seen the grass and suddenly you can put a nice football there. And you know. So he said, you asked, how much time you get to play when you go in that school? You know. So I said, no, it's not like that. But so then I started thinking. I said, you know, in Trinidad, I said, when they build all these elementary schools, they never even consider what it was going to be. They never build a school with a playground. I mean, you have schools all over the place on a playground, like the school he's going to. I mean, they're fencing. You just come out in the yard, and from the school wall to the road is maybe about 10 feet. You know, and it's surrounded by a fence like that. So they're like chickens in a yard almost. You know, fencing. So, you know, that kind of thing appealed to him. It looks so free and open outside there. But it's something similar, like I says. You see, to some people, because of the economic situation, that they could have a certain type of thing. And to some, because of the economic situation, they have to live under a certain condition. So you may go to school and never knew a school could have grown like that. Then somebody may find, well, the school ground was so big, it would tire them out. They wish they had a smaller school ground. You see, and it's similar with countries, and it's similar with the world, it's people. And you know, your life is influenced greatly by the conditions and what sphere, what environment you live in. Well, you can imagine somebody who's living in Babylon and then somebody who was living maybe in some other poor little desolate country. And Babylon was like a superpower in that day. They had the most modern chariots, the most modern everything, weapons, everything. They had the greatest agricultural scientists and everything else. There was the power that ruled the world. There was the head of gold. And you can imagine what people in them hard countries was trying to get into the Babylonian kingdom to live in, because it means had better work, better job, better promise, everything. Like you see people today want to migrate to the States, want to do this. They're not studying air pollution. They're not studying, you know, the crime rate. They're not choosing those things, you know. They're basing that decision on one thing. You could get more money. You could maybe eat certain things or buy certain things. They're not studying how much times dangerous it is. That if they had maybe 100th of a chance to live and survive and live a normal life without being wounded, without being shot, without being run over by a car, without being mugged, without being raped in the society you live in. And you go into a society where you have, you know, maybe one third of a chance. You know what I mean? That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what it is. Where they live in a society where they wouldn't suffer from maybe some disease that comes from by pollution or some toxic waste or something. That's going to get them cancer or leukemia. And they're going to a society where they're going to get that, you know, the chances are so slim that they will get it for sure. They don't consider that when they're migrating. They don't look at it from that perspective. Well, you find some people go up there and then they become paranoid overnight. Because they might not even see a gun. They might read in the paper and hear about a gun. And they may walk on the road and see a man stick a gun, a man head right again, and shoot them right next to them. They may realize 3-4 locks in the door don't mean security. You understand what I mean? Then the line of those, that shock and that fear, then they start to see how foolish that the way they look at migrating was. They may never experience to know if they like a winter for 4 months. Because they never live under that to know if I'm going up there and I can survive there. They never look at those situations. They never brought that into consideration. Because their mind is overpowered by the money. Or what looks like progress to them. Alright. Well, it's the same way. You see, as great and powerful as Babylon was, as rich as it was ripe for invasion. It was ripe for a siege. It was ripe for war. Because they had more enemies. Because they conquered more people, so they had more enemies. They destroyed a lot of countries to become a world power. So there was hate in a lot of places too. Amen. So, you see, if we here could come into the place where we can realize, you know, we don't have to walk along, you know, like some zombies. This is an age of enlightenment. That's why the seven seals open. The seven seals open to bring us to a place to see the world, to see the age, to see the time we're living in, to see the plan of God, to see the Holy Spirit at work. Amen. It's a time when all, you know, prophecies have been fulfilled. Brother, we're in a time here when civilization has come to an end upon the face of this earth. It's headed for destruction now. It don't have no chance of being recovered. It's past redemption. It has no turnaround. It means this one is going out and another type of civilization is coming in. For sure as it is. And the message reveals that in secret to the whole world, God is preparing our people for another civilization. Amen. And we have the proof, the infallible proof of a vindicating word of the prophetic scriptures that God showed the entire course of history that will be made upon the face of this world by these nations of the world even before many of them had come into existence or was known to be a nation. You know that? So, and God sent a prophet and proclaimed and made plain the revelation that we can see just by history alone how perfect what was foretold and the infiniteness of God's knowledge to know those things and the grace to human beings that God could show them things. That Daniel could stand there and know exactly what the history is going to be. He could have write the history book before it was even written. Do you know what that does in a person's heart when they see God show them something, brings the past, when it look like under all circumstances and under all man's opinions and the most learned people say, can it come to pass when the great military powers look like they had things in their favor? And everything was in the balance on their side to bring the past, maybe what they wanted to bring the past, and then God turned the whole scene around and bring the past what God said was really going to come to pass. You know what that does to a believer in his heart? Let me get me gathered, the whole world shall rank. This earth can be burned with fire. You know it shall be burned with fire because God said it. Amen. That is why Noah could have stood up in spite of all his science. And all what everybody can say, rain is going to fall and destroy the civilization. That's why I can say it. God have ways. The whole objective is not to give us the knowledge alone, but the end of the objective is that it brings our heart into such a place to believe and trust God and fear God and know that what God says cannot fail under no circumstances. It's impossible for God to lie and fail. And that's why we study the Bible. That's why we study the scriptures. We look and we see because we're not serving another God. It's the same God. Yeah. It's not no past with God. God is eternal I am. He always is I am. He lives in the future is present. The past is present to God right here, right now. I'm not past and future with God. He said I was who I will be. No, sir. He's omniscient. He's right there with him always. Daniel wasn't writing this. This was his experiences. He was recording his experiences. He said, "I, Daniel, I was on the bed." He tell him where he was on the bed. I was on by the river, so. He said, "I was there and I saw this and given the order of everything." And he described it. He said, "My head hurt me after a while." We need to absorb the word. Sometimes I feel that, you know, the word is being preached. And because they channel people's minds many times. You look at it as some historical something. These very nations we read here in the book of Daniel back, they're still here on the earth today. Yeah. Greece is still here. One of the biggest shipping magnets. But right here, Iran, the Medes and the Persians right here. Isn't that some ancient thing? You know, seeds just grow and mature. the spirit and the life of those people is still the same spirit and life today. Each Paul and place in Babylon is here today as ever. And you can only better understand today in the present when you know what their past was. You can only understand. We can only understand one another better when you know what our past was too. Don't you realize that? So when you break into the word, when you read the word with understanding. Ask God for understanding. Pray over the word. You don't read it like a newspaper and I can't get it. We know that part. But I don't get the comma, see why God pause. Then you're gonna find the spirit of revelation is different because one word will be to take you into a place, your mind, the right atmosphere, mind the right chance to see what God is talking about. I mean, many of these things are not new things for me to learn. But the thing is that because of what's happening now to express it, to express what is here. In the way that the light that it contains could be shed abroad to enlighten us. Right. It's because of the time and what's happening. And then you could look out there and get the natural manifestation. So the what you read becomes visible to you. You're not trying to imagine no more. It is visible, it's clear before your eyes. Amen. So that's why I says, you know, we can see how. When those lines were drawn, it's imaginary lines really. But it identifies different spheres in the world and different influence that dominate the lives of the people and shape the lives of the people and the culture of the people in who live within certain lines. Like I said, in the Middle East and the Arabs and those things. And they tell you right now what is going on in the Gulf right there is hundreds and hundreds of years. A war that is still happening here present today. It's not new. It's not going to happen yesterday. Or it's not that still happening present here. You got to go back hundreds of years, thousands of years. What is happening there among those people for that special location? They want to, someone, each one wants to dominate the influence in that region right here. See? You think of the wisdom of God. Think of this. That God put Israel in that place there. And God make Israel the signpost to all prophecy. That is the key to all prophecy in this Bible. Choose the signpost. That is the time sign. Amen. You don't know what time of it, what you choose. Yeah. God put that there. And that is in Gentile nations. God don't give an outline of all Gentile nations in the Bible. I come to wonder, is England there? Is which one France? Which one is France? The spirit might be right there. Spirit can be right there, identify very easy. But the thing is that they say, what they're going to do, what's going to happen to them? God only put Gentile nations that is in relation to Israel. Because a Jewish book. Time of the Gentiles come because of Jewish captivity. Time of the Gentiles end because of Jewish restoration. So as long as there is in relation to Israel, God give information. God doesn't give information as far as how they relate to one another. He didn't tell you what Babylon and Egypt relations going to be. He didn't say what Russia and America relations going to be. No, but where they come up in relation to Israel, God put them in the Bible. Wake up, God! He said, you're going to come in north. You're going to invade the Holy Land. You're going to try to this. Take control of that those people who's come back and restored back there and living in safety. Amen. See? Wait, what Babylon? Brother, that's the ancient enemy that destroyed the church. That destroyed, they scattered the Jews too. And gonna come back and make a covenant when he brings them in there. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Wait, what Egypt and Syria, they're gonna be together with Russia coming against Israel. Amen. So, he always put it in relation to Israel. Nothing else. Because we too, we are just the wild olive branch being grafted in. You see, many times we look at Israel, you know, maybe just some little something back there, and we are it right here. But when we look, and we go back and we see the entire plan. God started with Abraham and choose Abraham. And then give the Jewish people the law. He could have chosen anybody to give it to them. But he was going to make them the one to shine the light to the world. While all Gentile nations was in idolatry, they had the revelation of the true God, and God would come to them. Then God, in His great economy, had a provision for us by blinding them and giving us space of time to bring us in. And as Paul said, if they follow the Jews, but bring salvation to us, what will their salvation be? If their blindness brings salvation to us, what will their restoration bring then? Think of it, you see. Because we are just getting married to the King of Israel, you know. That's all, we got a Gentile wife getting married to the King of Israel. Because he is son of David. That throne in the millennium is son of David. See? So, as you look at the word then, and see here how God in His wisdom, this little book here, was showing what was going to come to pass hereafter. And anybody, the world today, there's a craving, a desire to know the future. There's not man that wants to know the future. People go to a man to read the palm, they go to somebody with the cards to tell them to read about astrology book, because there is something that man wants to know the future. Yeah. Want to know where life is going to be. But see, you don't have to go to no palm reader, no astrology book and these things, when the Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy. Yeah. Amen. You see, right in the White House, Nancy Reagan. She had the president there under her thumb. And you know, she said, you can't, no, change the date of the summit. You can't go right now. The stars are not right. Because this Jim Dixon over there telling her, you know, sometimes the stars are not right. And the stars are not right for that. And she said, we're going to wait here. We're going to do this over here. And until it came out, then right in the courts, where the supreme authority there, in America, look what was happening. Right there, they had the Chaldeans and the magicians and the soothsayers right inside of the air. Exactly right. To see, but if they are looking at this Bible, they would be able to have the right foreign policy. The world might be against them, but God will be on the side. You know, we need to recognize the prophet in the land who is far greater than the Pope. Yeah. You know how the Pope raised the dead? Yeah. You know how see God can identify with the Pope over the pillar of fire? Oh. You know how see the Pope can vision of seven angels with a company revelation in the Bible? Yeah. You know how you see God incarnate himself in the Pope? Oh. But in this day, God through a prophet reveal himself that way. And right there, where he was born and raised up, and the greatest ministry struck the earth, it was rejected. And when the Pope went there, the whole of America came. And let me tell you, people that in that land get the fame and the glory and these things. Look when Nelson Mandela went there. Look at what they had in America. Went right to the White House and so on. And you had a vindicated prophet walking the land there with dust and a pot to speak into existence. He had a weapon far greater than the atomic bomb that they had, than the nuclear missiles. He could see further than the satellite that they had their spine in the Kremlin. Hallelujah! He said, only another power of that nation led in that prophet. Amen! All the agent and double agent, all kind of different things that they had. This one's spying, this one's planting agents in the White House, all kind of different things. And he could sit down there and see straight into the Kremlin and see what's going on. Look what Ezekiel saw. Ezekiel saw straight in the Kremlin, and said, I will make God think an evil thought. Right when they sit down there around the table. Look at Daniel. He said, I'll sit on one table and speak lies. Is that right? Look at Daniel. And you come out and you read the Time Magazine and you say, yeah, at the summit, they said we'll disarm, we'll take all the weapons here, we'll reduce this over here, you know, we're going to give back over here. Sitting at the same table and speaking lies. Because behind that, now they're building more and more weapons still. Why? It must be that way because of the time that we are living in. Brother, when Daniel and they look and they saw God was showing them those kingdoms, how it was represented in the sight. God was showing them that it was important that God wanted them to know he was in that age. And those nations were all wrong. And God, and he was seeing through God's eyes in that vision how God was seeing those nations. And when God depicted them to him, God showed him those nations as ravenous beasts. God showed him how this bear, written on one side, had three ribs in the mouth, and a voice said, arise and devour much flesh. The other one, he saw as a leopard, going forth and conquering. And that was people. That was people foreign policy. That was people ideology. That was people conquest. That was exploits. That's what the nation was based on. And that was the world, that was the state of affairs of the world back in that time. How does God see today? How does God see today? Because the day and the intent is more evil? Because it's going worse and worse all the time? See? That's why some people go here and they see something very nice. And all shiny. And say, ooh, it's beautiful. See? Oh! Time to see you. You gotta hate your own country. Family so backward, your family so small, your family so this, your family so that, and America's so nice, and England so nice, and everything else. Brainwash! Brainwash! See? Because what happens? That's what God showed first. God showed the outside first. The head of gold. Oh my, you're shining, nice, beautiful. And then God showed the same thing as a ravenous lion. See? And then God will show the inside, now the nature of the thing, the spirit that moved and dominated in that kingdom. Amen. You see, God uses that in the Bible a lot. Like Jesus, in one place, he's a lamb, meek, innocent, coming in for redemption, sacrificial, to be humiliated. See? Humbling himself. Then he comes as a lion in judgment, in wrath, in fury, to devour and destroy them that destroy the earth. Sure. Now look. So, and that says, more and more I want you to see. I don't want you to miss that at all. I took a message last week Wednesday just to show you that in here lays certain things. In the Word of God, it lays the answer to what is happening. You know how the Bible said God make the wise visit by a million miles? Sometimes you hear some of these learned people who is so learned and they sit down here and they give you their view. Or what's going to happen? What's going to be? And you have to study this and observe these nations and write books and tell the foreign policy, everything about the nation, everything else. Right. And because it's only the Bible, and because they didn't see that little horn, that one who came out, who was different to the other 10 out of that fourth beast, because they don't know that at all. The one who's really behind the scenes controlling, they don't know. And what they predict and what they analyze is just the educated mind. It's just the human spirit trying to reason out. But when you look at the word, at the prophecy, you see how man's wisdom misses the word. They can't see it. And you can see the simplicity of having faith that God who knew the future and spoke it already in the Bible, and God who brought most of it to pass and is bringing it to pass right now, the last portion that is laying there to be brought to pass. Because the generation that see Israel become a nation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Yes. And you see exactly what is going to happen. The move that is going to that they are going to make and these things. Now that says, to know what shall come to pass thereafter. What kind of influence that would have. and it does have upon people who God have let, to, who He have allowed to be exposed to His foreknowledge. Because there's something in man that wants to know. If somebody that says is going to have a disaster tomorrow, they want to know. And that's why they give up prophecies put in the church. That under prayer and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that spirit comes upon somebody and says, a man who's going to walk in here in a black suit tonight, gray-headed man, walking with a cane in his hand, he, you know, it is a man that is going to die, and when he comes in, tell him, thus said the Lord, something's going to happen. God put up in the church. So that the church could be forewarned. Like Agabus and them back in the Bible too, who was a minor prophet. You saw the man stood up there and said, there's going to be a famine in this land. And the church wasn't trapped in it. They could have used a substance. They could repair. They could have buy the things in advance, knowing that a famine is going to strike. Knowing that the nation is going to go into drought. Like Joseph in the Bible, tell Pharaoh, you're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And he was able to save the world. God always works that way. And that's why when God exposes us to His foreknowledge, to prophecy, to His mind is thinking. Because that's what the Bible is the expression of God thinking. Now, these things I'm into in this book, it'll be much easier to teach with a chart. But you see, we're not situated in a way here where if we have a chart that everybody could see. And then, you know, I was even contemplating maybe I should have made something out of a paper in the hand, because sometimes you get here and to a little visual aid kind of help you formulate the picture in your mind. So that's one of the reasons you find I've been trying to take my time and go, because I want to make sure you grasp in those things. Because when you know certain nations is destined to play a certain part in the world history, especially in the last days, in the end time, in this fourth kingdom that we're in, before that fifth kingdom come into power, and that fifth kingdom is already ushering in. That's a revelation we are getting. That's what the seventh seal is all about. That's what the message is all about. That kingdom, the time is at hand. That's why you lift up your head and look up. When these things will come to pass, the kingdom of God is at hand. When you leave the Father's throne, you see a prophet stand there with them seven seals, preaching, revealing them mysteries, identifying those things. You see the supernatural vindication of the Holy Spirit upon the world, showing us apostolic times, apostolic doctrine, apostolic church is back here again, being restored like it was in the beginning. What does that tell you? From the time that happens, you know this Gentile world is fixing to burn in fire. And when it burns in fire and the nations is destroyed, then what kingdom going to rule? There's one coming in right now. That's why you pray, thy kingdom come, thou be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So look, God giving Daniel these things. Now, we took the first part where the first time he saw in that vision of the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he had seen something. He had seen God was giving a preview of what nations is going to rise. What powers in the earth was going to have dominion. How they're going to come to the end and be destroyed. And God told Nebuchadnezzar, he says, the God of heaven hath made known unto thee, O king, what shall come to pass hereafter. He said, because you're sitting in your bed and you're thinking about it, so God is trying to show it to you. He says, the grace of God, and now God has come and has made known to you these things. He said, and furthermore, king, he said, you are that head of gold. Now, I trust that everybody here know the four kingdoms. Everybody know what the head of gold is? The head of gold is Babylon, right? And the chest of silver was the Medes and the Persians. That's Iran today. Iran is Persian, the Bible. Then you had Greece. And after Greece, then the fourth kingdom is going to be Rome. No, we know that because of history today. But Daniel back there, as we study the book, I want you to see when he first saw it, and God had a purpose for doing it that way. Because God wasn't just giving him information. His experiences was bringing him to a perfect faith. Because he has an attribute of God in the earth in that day, and receiving the word allotted for that day, was coming into oneness with the word. That's why in the time of trial and testing, he didn't have information, he had faith. He could do great exploits. He knew the living God. It showed us, how could he know that God is rule, the heavens do rule, and then fight the lions. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't information, it was experience. It was in his own life being expressed afterwards. How could it be so sharp as revelation to put judgment on the king and use interpretation of the unknown languages correct? If he had doubted his interpretation and his inspiration, he'd be afraid to rebuke the king. You ever think it? What if it didn't come to pass? Did they shoot him for being a false prophet? For insulting the king? For trying to get pomp and glory and trying to be somebody? And speaking to a head of state like that? But he knew he had the word. And he knew his inspiration came from God, and his inspiration was always correct. Because he was put on the earth to be a channel of communication to receive inspiration from God. His whole life was born for that. Amen. And friends, let me tell you, the same word believers tonight. It's just this our age. He live in the first kingdom, but we live in the fourth. I'm going to be in the fifth. That's all. And he saw the word that was spoken for his time come to pass in his own life. You think when he saw that invasion that time, and the seeds and all them nations gather around Babylon, you think he didn't know this is the vision coming to pass? When he interpreted the unknown language, you think he didn't know this is that vision coming to pass? If we in the fourth kingdom, what we are seeing and what we are interpreting, don't we know that is that coming to pass? No, you think I'm preaching a message? I'm not preaching a message. I'm talking about either we believe these things or not. Either we know who we are or not. Either we understand how God delivered us or not. Amen. Because watch and see. The way God deals with us is how real faith comes. Tell me in the Bible here to Matthew. Matthew 1. I would have read Isaiah 7:14, but we all know that. Isaiah 7:14 says, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Right? That was a prophecy. A prophet spoke that. A prophet got inspired by the Holy Ghost and spoke that prophecy. And it took faith from the say too, because remember what he's saying never had happened before. A virgin conceiving without knowing a man? That never happened. That contrary to the laws of nature. That is supernatural. But that was his inspiration. He spoke it. Sometimes God gives a man a hard message to speak. Sometimes God doesn't give you inspiration that is easily acceptable. Sometimes you and all this question, sometimes whether you should say, what been revealed to you? And how much more for people who, when they're hearing something that you say is inspiration and they can relate it, it's not a natural thing for them to base the faith on. But what? The man stood up and said it. But what the circumstances here now? Verse 18, Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Whereas his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the Bible started bring us into the scene. It brings us into the scene from a certain angle that we could be affected by the reality of how the prophecy was coming to pass. It don't say, and Isaiah said so and so, and that, you know. No. It says now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. You say you want to hear how Jesus was born? Let me go through some circumstances here. And being a bring us into it. And it shows us a scene. A man and a woman. And he don't even know her yet. And they're supposed to be married. And then she get pregnant. And she's going to tell him, this thing is supernatural. What? Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put away privately. In other words, from the time he heard she was pregnant, is put away. Because he had nothing to do with it. And the first thing was, man, she got into adultery. She was unfaithful. But he loved her. So instead of just venting anger and rage, and me adjust my, not to make no scene, he said, I'll do it privately. But it could be done nevertheless. I ain't going to see no more. That's it. But while he taught him these things, I watch how dreams is a reflection of the subconscious. Now while he taught him these things, like Nebuchadnezzar, he was thinking on his bed about what's going to pass hereafter. And then the dream come. That's how most times dreams is we're thinking about. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, because the angel knew that you're afraid of. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now, this is the verse I want. Now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. In other words, all this was done that Isaiah 7:14 might be fulfilled. When Isaiah 7:14 being fulfilled, that nothing said about no girl to be engaged to a man, had nothing said about this man is going to put away the girl and get a found what happened, had nothing said about God got to give this man a dream to convince this man. It did not have that at all. Just say a virgin shall conceive. Now those things that Daniel has spoken, all those things about that stone kingdom coming, Daniel didn't say, and Revelation 10 going to come, and the Lamb will lead the Father's throne and take the book and then come down between the second and seventh trumpet. He didn't say that. But all of this is being done, that might be fulfilled. You understand what I'm saying? Or it didn't say, the whole world, after the communist wall is torn down, and new lines are drawn, and we begin to see a new society being emerged, a man is going to move out there and invade Kuwait, and then he's going to cause the whole world to see why they should come together in the United Nations to be able to manage crisis along the world. It didn't say that. But all these things I'm saying is being done. So that these things that is in the book of Daniel here would be fulfilled. The world didn't say, and they're going to build a wall after World War II, and communism is going to be on one side, capitalism on the other side. And then they're going to use the satellite to invade them places and blow the minds of the people, show them all the prosperity in the West and these things, and cause revolt in all them communist countries for economic reasons. It didn't say that. Did it say it? No, it didn't say it. But that is what is bringing this new world. And that is why when the prophecy is coming to pass, people who are not involved in the fulfilling of the prophecy could never see it and understand it. And unless you don't take the operation of God to reveal to you that what happening there is the word of the prophet coming to pass, that's how it must be done in order to fulfill the word, you will never be able to relate to it. You get me now?
Amen.
So that is why these things that we're looking at, I'm not talking about something haphazardly passing by. And I'm not talking about... Friends, if you understand what the seventh seal was, When that blast shook the earth, that means time was running out. The end of time seal had started. And under that seal, time is no more for Gentiles. You go right in the 11th chapter, goes to Israel again. Is that right? Sure. So these things I'm saying here, I'm not of the message. I'm more in the message tonight than I ever was in my life. You see? Because we've seen the hour and we understand it. You've seen the vision becoming a reality. But I want you see, I'm bringing these things in a very juvenile way. That's why I say I'm not trying to bring it as a commentary and comparing scriptures. I'm trying to catch what Daniel saw. Why God showed Daniel that? What was around him? How his vision given faith to live in that time. How he behaved when he saw them in the past. And I'm putting myself in the same time in this fourth kingdom here. And what I'm seeing. Because he lived in that time, I live in this time. You live in this time. He never saw the ten kings. We've seen them. He didn't know what the little horn was going to be. We know. See, he never know how he's going to destroy and devour the whole earth and destroy wonderfully by peace. He never knew. But we know the ecumenical movies and these things today. We see it. It didn't say ecumenical move in the Bible. It just said destroy wonderfully by peace. But we know when the standard peace was after the Second War, after the atomic bomb that almost destroyed the earth. And they were so shocked. Now, could you imagine what would happen? Do you know there was actually a race on in World War II? Who was going to discover the atomic bomb first? Do you know that there was actually a race between Germany and America to discover the bomb? To make a weapon to defeat the other one. They weren't sure I wasn't going to stop them with tanks and guns. Because the Germany had them outnumbered. And was more strategically placed than them. But because of God's word, that Germany will not be a world power. Because Germany had got the bomb first, who would have stopped Hitler from conquering the world? There's no way to stop him. But God said there's only be four kingdoms. See? And that's why you see sometimes little things that change the world. Little things that right in a certain time that shift the balance of power. Give the leverage to maybe a weaker nation. Look at Babylon with an impregnable wall. With such a strong military. And all these things. Yet, the key to unlock that situation and to overcome that power, God give it right, give the inspiration to Cyrus. Because God had already spoken before and said, there was going to be one who is going to raise up. And he's going to come in and do those things. Sure. When you see people like God could speak prophecy so direct concerning Cyrus, and he said, and though they don't even know me. Speak about Alexander the Great, who didn't even know him. And say what they was going to do. Joseph said that when Alexander was making his conquest and he'd come to Jerusalem, I think it was in the year 323 BC, and he's coming through right there, one of the high priests took the book of Daniel and showed him where it was spoken of him, the prince of Greece, and how he's going to come, what he's going to do inside the book. And when he saw it, he speared the city. He's going to destroy the city. But Jerusalem has been burned down so many times. See? Not what man would want to do. Right now, Solomon said, I'll burn the land of Israel with things. No. God didn't say that. Look at a man can have the weapons, and man can have the will, and man can want to do it, and man can seek the opportunity, and God said, no, it can't happen. Amen. Amen. If God can say that for unbelieving people, how much more you a believer? If God says, I know Cyrus and Alexander and them, how much more God know you, who is part of his word in this hour? Amen. And friends, when you as a believer,
standing in the age that you are living and seeing the word of God being revealed and quickened to you, I can make that we underestimate the word too much. I can make that we underestimate the things of God too much. It looks too common, it sounds too ordinary. Sometimes we just sit there and maybe we think it too far away from us too sometimes. But if we can move into that channel and see the reality of those things, what a faith that ought to give to us.
Amen.
God showing these prophetic things, how all is being done, that the word might come to pass. Tell me in the Bible a little bit. Let me take one of these scriptures and show you something here. Just lay back on something. Isaiah 44. Let's try to break in more into what Daniel was thinking, what Daniel had known, or what Daniel was looking for. Because we know a lot of things. Sometimes you hear people saying, they ask all kind of questions. Will sunset be the millennium? Will sunset wash the sunset? When? What is going on here? What is going to happen over here? Will the bride see? What are the money proposition? And it's just imaginary thoughts half the time. It's just asking questions. But now let's look at the word and see the word in reality. See the word coming to pass. Amen. Like they stood and watched the word come to pass in their time. Like they read the word and knew what the word said. Isaiah was a prophet before Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in the time of Daniel, when Daniel was a young boy. But Jeremiah prophesied the captivity, and Daniel was one of the captives. Is that right? That means they would know the word of Isaiah. They would know the prophet. Because that was a vindicated prophet. He was the one who prophesied the Messiah. Isaiah brought the entire Bible. Amen. He was rejected by the very same people. He was one that was sawn asunder. But look at him here in his message. Just like we are all prophet in this day. And we want to break right into his prophecy. Isaiah 44, we take from verse 28. He was prophesying here before about God and God's greatness and what God is going to do. And he says, talk about God again. Who said of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. You can imagine, they turned to Isaiah 45. They couldn't understand what he's talking about. Because Jerusalem wasn't destroyed yet. It wasn't invaded yet. It wasn't burned yet. And he's saying, who said of Jerusalem, thy foundation shall be laid? Cyrus was given that commandment after Jerusalem was destroyed, when he was coming back to rebuild the city. Is that right? So sometimes a man giving a message at a time, it don't seem to make sense. You don't understand what the message is, but the thing, what we want to see, what I'm preaching about is what shall come to pass hereafter. That is God foreknowledge, God foretelling, God for showing forth before it comes to pass. How we know our body can be changed? How we know there's going to be a squeeze, or when the squeeze comes to the temple? How we know those things? God foresee those things. How we know we'll preach to the lost in that hour? God foresaw those things. How we know for 40 days, saints will gather near, they'll appear and come to us? God foresaw those things. Those are the things I'm talking about. How is it all coming to pass? It's pushing right up in this hour. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Now let me tell you, the same way we know here, somebody asks you, where they call Capitol Hill? You say, in Washington, where the White House is. You know that. And they say, where they call them? St. Peter's Square. You say, in the Vatican. You know that. Why? This part of the thing we learned today about our world. Well, back in that day, there wasn't a city on the earth like Babylon. It was the greatest city. The same way you know the cities like Moscow and New York and all them different things of the superpowers today. And you know about the different things because of traveling and news back and forth. It's the same way they knew it too. So when they talk about the two leaf gates, they knew it only had one city on the earth had them two leaf gates. That was Babylon. The big gate was two leaves. So when the Spirit speaking to Isaiah, he is identifying what city that was God was talking about. And here what God telling him, before him the two leaf gates,
He will open before him the two gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Why? Because nobody could get into that city. Them gates was gates of brass. And that wall was about 90 something feet thick. And you have chariot races on the top of the wall. See, he had no way. So then, it means God is saying, their defense was in the city. And the walls. And the gates. Because you're not going battering rams to invade back there. And the wall was too high and too big to try to come over them walls. And they're trying to battle on them gates. It was too strong. But God is telling this man, so when you come, the gates will be open for you. They will not be shut. You mean say God's going to put in a man's heart, you can invade them. You can take them over. As strong as the sinners, you can take them. Sure. That was his time. I will go before thee and make thee crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. That's the same two leaf gates of Babylon. And cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. But you talk about Fort Knox. They are going. You talk about the Vatican and them places. Back there in Babylon, every place they conquered, they bring the treasures of them places. Read and see. 2 Chronicles 36 and 2 Kings 20, 24 and 25. Where they showed the invasion, how they took everything of value. And God is telling Cyrus through a prophecy. Now this was 175 years before the man was even born, you know. That thou mayest know that I am the Lord. I the Lord who called thee by thy name am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. 175 years before Cyrus was even born, God, in a prophecy through Isaiah, Jerusalem wasn't destroyed yet, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't even born yet, to come and invade Israel and destroy the city and burn it, take them captive. Jeremiah didn't even rise and say 70 years he was going to come back. You know what I'm saying? In that land. But way back there, God was saying two things about this man who's going to rise. Maybe for years they wonder whether he's going to be a Jew. Maybe for years they wonder who he's going to be. Maybe Jews never had no intention of invading Babylon. So they look for a man who have a desire to invade Babylon and become a world power. They ponder in the prophecy like we ponder many things in the Bible for years. Who is the man of sin? Who is the last Gentile leader? How the rapture take place? How so? Things that lay in the word. Now watch. But God is saying two things about this man. One, he is going to say to Jerusalem, you can go back and lay a foundation. You can go back and rebuild your city. And the two leaf gates, them gates of brass, will not be shut before you. You'll be able to go in and take that place, though you don't know me. So God, it was a twofold prophecy that this man was going to invade Babylon and take it over, and then when this man takes it over, he's going to give an edict that these people are going to go back and rebuild the city and the temple. No, we know Cyrus did those things, we're going to find it. Now what? Now years after Isaiah went to the city, Jeremiah came on the scene. Daniel and them was little boys now. Let's read Jeremiah 25. You see, I want you to see it was spiritual understanding, it was revelation that they were seen coming the path that they was having faith in. It wasn't just something without faith. What we see today, we have to believe the hour is here. We have to believe that it is even so much closer than it was before, because look how far advanced we are and the position of the nations. Look at the condition of the church. Look at the spiritual condition of the bride. Look at the revelation coming forth. For us to know how late the hour is. Look at the World Council of Churches. Look what happened in this country. You know what I'm saying? And more we've seen the real climate among the nations and how it's ripe and it's getting ready for what the world have spoken about. Fixing to come to pass. But we know it's going to be a world state. We know it's going to be one power controlling trade and commerce. You can't buy or sell. Sometimes you wonder how this is going to happen. When will that take place? How far are we from it? If God could reveal us these things, let me tell you, some of us, we'll wash our garments right quickly. Some of the stuff all our food and get sins and pray day and night. When the prophet said, he said, you get desperate or perish. When he said, I'm applying the token, he said, right after Moses applied the token, he said, judgment is coming in Egypt, the world was destroyed. Is that right? And he was showing the position of the nation, the condition of the world was happening right now. He said, the last sign, after Sarah's heart was discerned, the Gentile was to be burned fire. He said, look at the sign here, it's time for the Gentile world to be destroyed. Is that right? Sure, we do the same thing. But then some of us today, we're not desperate. We ain't really praying. We ain't really full of the Spirit. We're going after other things. We have other priorities. Why? Because we don't really know by revelation how close we are. But the day you go to know, you're going to see exactly, and you could read the handwriting on the wall and understand from the scripture and the symphony and see the beats that are changing and see what is coming in according to God's program. I guarantee you, if you have a revelation, you get so desperate and you get so straight with God. Sure. Watch. Just in the background here to show what Daniel knew that prophecy. But watch a little more as it unfolds now. Jeremiah 25, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke unto all the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying. Now when that was the fourth year of the king of Jehoiakim, and it was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. From there, it changed, and it started to say, and in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, and in the first year of Belshazzar, and in the first year of Darius. Why? It's now Gentile kings because Gentile rule. While before Israel was in captivity, time was counted by Israel kings. In the fifth year of so-and-so, and in the fifth year of Ahab, and in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, and in the 28th year of Manasseh, and different things. But then when he said, and in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, it's because the power had shifted to Gentiles now. We're under the times of the Gentiles now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Alright. Let's jump down to verse 9. Verse 8. Therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words. God is telling them now to his prophet now. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, said the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an horror and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Israel was just to be another one in the bag. God wasn't giving them Israel alone. He's giving them all the nations round about. Because I told you last time, Egypt was 1, 2, he took it 4. In Jeremiah 27, different places spoke of it. Where he began to move into, like how Hitler began to move towards Europe. And he take Poland, and he take Czechoslovakia, and he take France, and he began to strangle Norway and them Scandinavian countries too. And then he was going for Britain in the war. Right? To take over that whole European continent. And change the balance of power. See? Now it's exactly here. When Nebuchadnezzar is moving, God said, I'll bring them from the north, and I'll bring all you and all these countries round about you. That whole region and all them different nations side by side. See? Iran, Iraq, Sudan, all them North African countries, Libya, all them Egypt, all them around there. He'll take the whole region. Exactly. Like communism, Russia after World War II. He'll take Poland and Hungary and Romania and Czechoslovakia. Right? And then all that East Germany and all them countries right in our region. He will take every one of them under the influence and absorb them into the communist power. Well, exactly. They don't change. Spirit don't change. It's just from generation to generation, you see the change in face. And he said, moreover, I will take thee from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And God decreed the time. God put, in other words, God put a line. It's 6 inches long, it's 70 years long. God put a time. You can't come up from under that. 70 years, you've got to go through that. And then, liberty, a jubilee is going to song for you. And you'll be able to go out free. You understand that?
Yeah. All right.
Like God gave us 7 churches. No rapture! 7 churches! You're going to live out. But then, at the end of the 7th age, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. It's going out time! Amen! Hallelujah. That men look for it in the age and they die, and they look for it in the age and they die, and they all die in faith. But then we in the age, we see a blast from heaven. We see the seals open. We see something happening. What is happening? It's jubilee time. It's a release. Message of grace coming back. Jeremiah 27. More into Jeremiah prophecy. I want to show you something. Now watch it. God is prophesied that Cyrus was going to invade Babylon. But this time, in Nebuchadnezzar's time, Babylon was the head of gold. Come great, a great power. He was the one that brought the power and grand and great glory. Jeremiah 27 verse 5. God speaking again to Jeremiah, the prophet of Israel. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm. And I've given it unto whom it seemed right unto me. So that means Nebuchadnezzar was chosen and raised up to do what he did. It wasn't just a man get voted by politics. It wasn't just a man inherit the throne from his daddy. He was appointed by God. God said, my servant Nebuchadnezzar, I'll bring him, he'll do all these things.
What?
And now, I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him, and all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son. So we realize he had even grandchildren, you see? Until the very time of his land come, but then he's going to have great power, while I haven't have power, until the time of his land come too. America is going to go for the global police, invade who they want, take over who they want, squash who they want, destabilize who they want, until the time comes in that seventh vision. Exactly right. The world don't change. And until that time, they're going to rule, they're going to have power, they're going to lead the world, they're going to do this and that, until that time comes. And in California, God will say, all right, I'll cripple you, I'll send California down. I'll try to reduce you now. Then the bomb is going to come. See? God knows what he's doing. The same way God did Babylon, the great head of gold, so great and powerful, looking so mighty. Same way. The Vatican, all the nation, the world drunk. And then God say, until the hour come to, in 1 hour, all the merchants will weep for her when they see in 1 hour so great a city become so desolate. Is that right? What? God will change. Just see the principle. And all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall enslave him. Serve themselves more, enslave him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom that will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with famine and with pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Do you get something there? Do you see now why? Sometimes certain countries, because God gave them a time. Some God give a man a ministry a time to influence his age. And he rises there, he's the predominant figure in that time. He's catching the revelation from God, he's blasting it forth. Every messenger in their own time coming. Then they inspire other men and they rise up and just carry it on until the age is finished. Then it falls upon another man again. He rises up a Luther, he begins to blast for that message. Then after he dies, then you get a Zwingli and Calvin, sweep it on until the end. But then you get a Wesley rise up again. And he blasted forth, shook the age. See? Start a revival. Then you have men like Finney and Knox and them carried on. Until it come over to the Pentecostal age. Then a man catches the word there again and go forth. And so it goes on and on until we are a prophet. Well, you say, may God give a man a time, God give a nation a time too. And they're going to go forth and rule the world. And any nation that don't cope with them, they're going to have famine. What? Is that a time we wasn't coping with the USA, you know that? And what happened to us? The economy got dung, 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 dung.
We got wheels big, we drive them out, we do this, we do the other. Then what happened? They turned right back, and our king went to the king in the White House. And our king asked for security, and our king asked for help, and our king asked for a foreign investor, and our king asked for different things, because the whole economy is gone. Exactly right. God said, don't serve certain people, don't lie about certain things. He said, I'm going to break you, I'm going to punish you, I'm going to dry up everything else. It don't mean God are like in them places, but on a national scene, they're finished. Sure. See, look at Cuba and them places like that there. Stand up there until when the time comes, all the communists probably going to bow and give in. But they're trying to stand there and falling apart of the scenes and everything else. Can't make a stand. Just waiting for a marathon to go. Why? Because it's like that. God gives certain kingdoms, certain kings, power for a season, for a time, to influence the world, to bring the world into the place where He wants it to come into. Nothing will happen except God. Now here God was prophesying Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon, coming to its end. God always is going to come to the end, and God said, the time is going to come to its end. He named the king who is going to invade it and take it over. He named what that king was going to do. Jeremiah says, you all will be there in captivity for 70 years, but one day that nation that take you captive will become captive also. Did you see it? Sure, they saw it. They saw the prophet's prophecy come to pass. Let me tell you, the passion that they believe, a prophet is a light unto the people. When a God was a prophet and anointed him, and he could see, and he had the spirit of prophecy upon him, and bring the testimony of God's word to them in that hour, foretelling what was going to come to pass, they knew it was the divine foreknowledge of God, revealing God's will for them as a nation, as a people, as a power. Same way God bring it in the realm of the church to us through a prophet, and say, you Pentecostals, you had your time, but you'll never rise no more because you reject this message. You dust of the Lord, you are dead already. No more revival. He said, no, the next revival will be the bride revival. She's going to receive this message. God's going to raise up around the world and give them this revival. They're going to see the message of the coming of the Lord. Why? He was showing the church as a power, different ages. He said, you Baptists, you had your day. You Methodists, you had your day. You Pentecostals, he said, that's why I'm with you right now. Because you believe these things. You believe in divine healing, speaking in tongues. You believe in the Holy Ghost. But you wouldn't repent, and you rebuke him with the power too. And then he said, the bride tree shall live again. There will be another book of Acts again. Why? He's bringing prophecy for the church as a people, as a power, as a holy nation. The same way God do it on that level.
Amen.
That's why you see when the word is coming forth, God sending forth his word, raising up his people, anointing them, putting the word in their mouth, blasting it forth. That message go forth and shakes. That message enlightens. That message opens up and show God's will. Let me tell you, the people of God just flock around it and just line up it and move into it by the grace of God. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's why them Hebrew boys down there couldn't make them kind of stands. Because they went down there with faith. They went into captivity, not with fear and disillusion, like the life lost. Look at Jeremiah tell Hananel, you say you're going to go down there, but take this deal. Put nothing vessels, you're going to come back here one day. Is that right? He said, don't you see the city in smoke going up? Don't you see the ashes and ruins? He said, you're coming back here. Because just as I say you're going in, the same way I say you're coming back to. He knew his inspiration come from God. Remember when that false prophet rise up there and tried to say, it's only 2 years ago, and he break up the yoke and everything, and make a big show? And then God tell Jeremiah, go and make one of iron next time. Tell him it's 70 years. And that same year, God killed the man, the false prophet. Sure. You think them didn't know that? They knew that. Brother, when God don't put a prophet in a corner, God sends a prophet out. Brother, to the places where we can blast that word forth. Challenge the religious leaders of the day. Shake the nation. Rebuke the kings. Amen. Shake the social condition of the people. Bring them back to the world. Look at the prophet taking the message, the way of a true prophet. Is that right? He's when a true prophet comes on the scene, he diagnoses the people, amen? Under God's spiritual diagnosis, the word is inside him. He sees what is holding and strangling the people. Amen? And he brings forth the medication of the word, blast it forth.
Amen?
Why? We look and we see those things.
And the same way is happening today. And we look and we see, and it's coming, it's opening. And Daniel and them, when they went on getting, you know, prophecy come to pass. That was when he began to read the writings of Jeremiah in the 68th year. He turned around and started praying because it's time to go back out. Is that right? It showed they had believed the prophecy. That's why I'm reading for you these prophecies here to show that when they went down with scriptural knowledge. They went down with revelation. And when God had given those visions in the book of Daniel, there was understanding it with spiritual discernment. He started to see which nation I must look at. Didn't God tell the prophet in the vision, watch the king of the north? He said, watch Grenada? He said, watch Trinidad? He said, watch the king of the north? Sure. God began to show him. And he began to look in the world and he began to see the nation that's going to rise, the nation that God's going to use. He said, don't bother them ministers about communism, this, that, and the other. He said, just a tool in God's hand. Because Revelation 14, God have a sickle in his hand. The symbol of communism that is coming to reap the harvest of the earth, destroy the Roman power, these things. Sure. You see those things in the earth identified wrong about. And we wonder, are we in the last days? Look at it. We are looking at tonight from the position of the nations. From the condition of the nations, the kings, the things that are happening at present. We take the same thing and look at it through an ecological eye. Under the seventh trumpet, the destruction of the earth and so on. We look at it through the realm of the church and see where the Son of Man is revealed in the last days before the general will destroy. You can take it to any realm you want. Take it to a financial realm and the world. It's about bankrupt and the US dollar is dying and everything and the destruction of the parental money system and bring it right back. And you come, every time you come right back to the last days and it's finished.
No hope for this world.
That's why I say the world is again falling apart socially, economically, politically, religiously. See, even nature is going to take a tumble, everything is all falling apart, friends. And no matter what seal you take up, that opens up each one of them realms, and you bring it, you're going to see exactly we are in the end time. We are in the end time. I know you're getting a little concerned about the time, I too. It's now 8:45, we finish at 9, for the curfew's sake. So, I should be... Maybe read my last scripture just about here. Amen. See, that is a pain there now. Let me see where I should go now. Okay, quickly with me. I get some homework to do. So I say read the book of Daniel. I know many of you reading, but when I start to preach here, I can tell what you read. It's something different than what I'm preaching. Because you just read. You ain't studying the word. I said, if they call it what is happening, God said, go in there. There's something there. Friends, let me tell you, the secret is staying with the word. You can't read the same word too much times. And you can't read the word long enough. Every time you read it and you get a revelation, you shouldn't stop reading it. Keep reading it. Start to stay there until the words start to talk back to you. When they talk back to you, then you're in the spirit of the word that you're reading. If you just go to and read it, where come back out of it? Nothing. But wait there. One word sometimes. I'm just taking the word. God say he reveal things which shall come to pass hereafter. I'm trying to bring it on for you on a personal level. To show. Yes, God show all them things. But Daniel was seeing it. How it is coming to pass. He had seen Jeremiah prophecy for him as a Jew. How it is coming to pass. He had seen the vision God showed him concerning Babylon, the nations. How that was coming to pass. He knew what was going to happen to his people. He was going to know what was going to happen to them nations. He knew what was going to happen to the temple and the worship and all those things that they were excommunicated from. He saw in God's plan how to bring them back, restoring them back to the beginning, all these things. He was seeing it. Then spiritually today, aren't we seeing it? He lived in his kingdom and there was prophecy for his time. These prophecies for his time that Jeremiah said, God will enslave the king of Babylon. When his time comes, make them serve others. And God said, Cyrus, I'll open the gate before him. It would not be shut. Do you know, according to history, when Cyrus went in there, the gate was open that night?
show. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, do you know that that night they're having a little party and thing, and all the radar and all the warnings, everything comes through, nobody was able to receive it. Read the message from and after when the prophet talked about it. When they made that strike, God just had them all drunk and wild and carrying on having a good time, and they're expecting nothing like that. And that very moment, the thought comes into the Japanese to make the attack. When you look and you see, God says something, friends. God said, I will make Gog think an evil thought. They can have what kind of policy? They can have make what kind of treaty? They can sign what they want. Some man going to get a thought to go contrary against that. It will seem so feasible. It will seem like you can move and take it quickly and come back without any problems. But you're going to take that piece of land here. God will be waiting for you.
Exactly.
Down to the very thoughts. The very thoughts that we are thinking. God making us think good thoughts. Not evil thoughts. He are making us think thoughts that put us in the rapture.
Sure.
God didn't tell us when the headstone came down and we are thinking God thoughts. God gonna make us think other thoughts. Is that right?
Sure.
You see, sometimes you see God says something about a nation, a Bible, and you don't apply it to yourself. Because you're not realizing it is not so much a nation, it's God being revealed how he works. And if God works a nation, he says work at an individual so too. He'll work with the church that same way. Because God can't change his ways. Not everything about the individual God put the individual in the Bible. Not everything with the church God put to the church. Not everything a nation God put in a nation. In each place, he gives a little more revelation of himself. So when we see in the Word how he has been revealed, how he thinks, how he acts, then we know where you're going to take to please him. A nation rejects God's word, God destroys a nation. A man rejects God's word, God destroys a man. A family rejects God's word, God destroys a man. A church rejects God's word, God will destroy a church. Exactly. God do the same way. Which scripture I told it, Daniel 2. Daniel 2. Look at this now. Verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams and his spirit was troubled and his sleep went from him. Notice when that was? The second year of his reign. Daniel was taken to captivity the first year. The second year of his reign, he began to dream dreams. So that means when Daniel went to Babylon, revelation started. But it was not new revelation. It was just more information on the same revelation that Jeremiah and Isaiah spoke. God don't give one revelation and give another. God give one revelation and more information to the same revelation all the time. Because it was the same spirit that was in Jeremiah, the same spirit was in Isaiah, the same spirit was in Daniel, the same spirit that gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream. And it was the same purpose that God had, just unfolding more and more, gradually letting it out. Not all at one time, but giving more and more as the time went by. And then Daniel 7. I'm going to pick up on Daniel 7 when I come back Sunday. So maybe you read out the rest of Daniel 7. But I just want to get the first verse again. In the fifth year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. 48 years after, I don't have time to prove to you anybody, but maybe Sunday if I get time, I'll show you how, where different, the time that different ones live in a way is in the book here, but how we can know how much years it was after. Now, it was 48 years after Daniel had seen that image of the four kingdoms. God was choosing. You know what I'm saying? God was choosing to give Daniel details of the same thing that he never showed Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was dead and gone.
But God now is showing Daniel about the same kingdoms. Because Daniel saw four kingdoms. The head of gold, the chest of silver, the thighs of brass, and the legs of iron. And then he saw the kingdom of the stone called out hands. Well, Daniel came and saw four beasts, and then the kingdom of the ancient of days. So he saw back the same thing again. But this time God used different symbols, because God intended to give certain details and information that he didn't give Nebuchadnezzar, that Daniel could have a more complete understanding, seeing that the kingdom was fixing the change. And that's why I find as the age progresses, God gives more revelation. When Wesley came, get more than Luther. When Pentecost came, get more than Wesley. When the prophet came, it's fully revealed. Why? Because we're coming now back to the beginning, where the fullness of the word was to come back into existence again. God always works like that. You want them patterns in the Bible. Daniel 8. And in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. Here it is 51 years now. Because it's 3 years after the first year of Belshazzar, the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. Now, tell me Daniel 5. Verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. And verse 30 says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. In other words, Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, which is in the first year Belshazzar and the third year Belshazzar, was before Daniel 5. Because Daniel 5 is when Belshazzar died that same night. So it means when Daniel started to interpret that writing, he had the revelations of all them beasts, and what he saw there, he had the revelation of the image with the head of gold and all those things, and he had the vision in Daniel chapter 8 also. And all those visions was a further unfolding of the first vision. The vision that God starts in the book with Nebuchadnezzar, those four kingdoms, is what go all through the book. That don't change. But what God does, he gives more and more. And especially when it comes to the fourth kingdom, because that was the one, the last days, the one that we are living in, the whole book was surrounding that fourth kingdom and that certain king, which is going to be the devil himself incarnate in the last days. Amen? Amen. And that's the time we are living in, friends. And what we see happening here, all this is being done. Now, this new world order that is coming and they're talking about is when that king is going to rise on the scene there. Somewhere between the binding of the tears and the revealing of the Antichrist, the church goes in the rapture. And the rapture has already started. What, 27 years now? Is unfolding. We are in the rapture. These things we're talking about here. Right? Says, you watch and see. Now, with that understanding, he was able to interpret the handwriting, and he knew. He said, when he interpreted, he said, God has given the kingdom to the Medes and the Persians. Daniel had never known for 48 years who the chest of silver was. But that night Belshazzar died, that night of the feast, he knew who the chest of silver was. It was going to be the Medes and Persians. And when he saw that the Medes and Persians, Darius who came in and took the throne, he was king of the Medes, but the king of Persia, which was Cyrus, he was really the head of the two kingdoms. Because later on in the book you're going to find it. And what actually happened is that Daniel began to see a man named Cyrus take over Babylon. The city with the gates with two leaves, brass leaves, and give the edict for them to go back and build the temple. And he saw Isaiah prophecy come to pass. He saw Jeremiah prophecy come to pass right there. You know what I'm saying? He saw his own vision of Nebuchadnezzar's dream come to pass right there. The kingdom has been succeeded. You know what I'm saying? Well, friends, what's happening to us? When we have a prophet rising in the last days, tell us what's going to happen to England. Tell us what's going to happen to Russia. Tell us what's going to happen to Israel. Tell us what's going to happen to the nations of the world. Tell us what's going to happen to America. Can't we look in the world and see what's happening? Tell us what's going to happen to the bride. With America, is it right on this nation? It's going to rise up. Revelation 13 is going to be fulfilled. Where you can't bow or sell, it's going to come a world council of churches. You're going to bring a squeeze upon the church. You'll have to close up your buildings and so on, make it storehouses. Isn't that because of out of America? If the nation wasn't identified and God didn't say, watch America, and we're going to come out of America, a beautiful one rise up here in this nation, would we look for that to happen in let me say, Puerto Rico? Would we look for that to happen, maybe say, in Czechoslovakia? If somebody raises up and say, ooh, something's going to happen here, and the World Congress of Church is going to do this in Denmark, and so we're going to get moved? Why? Because why? In that prophetic vision, it points the nation out, it points what's going to happen, it points in the scripture. You know what I'm saying? Then when you stand and you begin to see these things fall into place, my friends, and taking its place on the world stage, exactly what the message said, as I was showing you Sunday, God will give a prophecy. And then as the time gets close, God has come and give more light and more details into what you already showed so you can recognize how that is being fulfilled. And that's why when God spoke to that prophet, that's why the same God reveals all these things. Why I think all of them with the seven trumpets I sent, supernova and all of them, the international year of peace, all of these had to come to tie to the world. Why would God be doing them things? Why would all these things go on here in the world right now? Why? So we could keep walking in step, we could keep understanding what is happening. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see when you know, when God being revealed, the things that shall come to pass hereafter? And I say, whether it's your own business, whether it's in your own personal life, whether it's in your own home. God showed the prophet what's going to happen in his own home, with who is going to die and different things. God showed the men what's going to happen in the business with the oil wells and so on. Is that right? God showed the church what's going to happen with the opening of the seals and the blast and go to Arizona. And do you realize that how the church was able to progress, how things was able to move on when God was coming and revealing what was to come to pass? Isn't that the Holy Spirit when he come, he shall show you things to come? Isn't things to come prophecy? Exactly. God forewarned and prepared his people this hour. May we all stand off. We are over, it's finished, it's still not 9 o'clock yet, and I know you want to leave and you have to leave and I have to leave but I trust you was able to follow tonight. I trust you didn't let things come in your mind. I just felt the Holy Spirit was speaking the word so precisely tonight. And you could look and you could see these things. And let me tell you, these things I'm preaching here, if you don't have the passion to study, if you don't have a desire to read the word, if you're not a big reader, and then you fail to listen attentively, you'll have real problems in these services. But you can sit on right there and grasp, and God will expand your mind. And God will bring you into such an illumination, friend. Because the things that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, and the light that He's showing upon us, and the way God is bringing it close to us, is that we might have faith sufficient for this hour that we are living in. And I trust that the grace of God coming onto your heart, as Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. You may know the hope of his calling. And the exceeding greatness of his power towards you believe. That you can really come into the real spirit of revelation. To see how real God's word is. That God didn't leave us uninformed. God didn't leave us without warning. But the Holy Spirit in his amazing grace has remembered us. And stranger, visitor tonight, you in the service, hearing some of these things tonight, search the scriptures, Jesus said, and see whether these things are so. If these things are so, if the scriptures testify of him and what he's doing for his people this hour, then it's God's amazing grace to you to bring you in contact with the truth, with his word, foretold thousands of years
preserve, give them back to us with the understanding from the Holy Spirit in the hour that we are living in. When this kingdom of this world is falling away, but there's another kingdom. One that many of us who know the Lord's Prayer can say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Never knew that right in the air told us about that coming kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that is exactly what is coming to pass. He has left the Father's throne to take his own throne. And the promise of the last age, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat in my Father's throne. Why was it for this last age? Because there's no more after this, my friend. He takes his people off the earth. They're going to come back to reign with him. Let us receive his word into our hearts. Let us acknowledge him as Lord. Let that kingdom be established in our hearts. Tonight, as we close this service, we can say, "Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart." He said, "Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Luke 7 said, "Don't come by observation, but without observation." I was preaching Sunday, a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, a kingdom that cannot be removed. That is what we are receiving right now. While this world is falling apart, while the kingdoms of man is falling apart, deteriorating, rotten, morally corrupt, socially corrupt, everything, politically corrupt, rotten to the core, and the world is fixing to go to its final birth pain to bring back a new civilization. Right here in your heart, you can be born again by the incorruptible seed of his word. The spirit of that kingdom, the king of that kingdom, could meet with you right here tonight in this service. And you can surrender unto him, that he could be Lord of your life. In reverence, in worship, let us sing that little chorus before we go. "Jesus, be the Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart." And then, as a sign of surrender, an international sign, around the world everywhere, in every language, you lift your hand as a sign of surrender. I think we can lift our hands and surrender all. And may we find grace in his sight. And whatever it is, may we go home feeling closer to him than we have ever felt in our lives. May his presence go with us all. And God bless you, which is my prayer tonight. Let me just pray in this way before we leave. Our Father, as we stand here with hands lifted up, O God, Lord Jesus wants to make you Lord of the kingdoms of our hearts. Father, realize that this world is again falling apart. But we have the opportunity before it falls apart and we be destroyed with it, to receive a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, a kingdom that shall be removed. Not just a kingdom that we are going to live in, but a kingdom that could be established in our hearts, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that the king of that kingdom will come into our hearts. Oh, God will establish his word, will make its spirit alive and power. I pray that men and women standing here tonight, oh God, under the impact of the revelation of your word, standing here in your presence, fixing to leave this building to go to their homes. But may that spirit, oh God, deal with them. So when they leave this place, they will leave, Lord God, traveling along the way, feeling so close to you and never felt in their lives. May your spirit continue and linger with them, Lord. May you deal with them. May when they read the word tonight, early in the morning when they get up at lunchtime, at a little break time, Lord, meditating the scripture, the spirit and the very word, we'd come back and anoint them and bring back to remembrance and teach them further these truths. Oh, gracious God, may we pure our hearts, trim our lamps, fill us with oil, Lord. Make us ready in this hour. Lord God, of the heavy hearts tonight, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, willing to surrender to you, dear God, to receive you as Lord and Savior. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the Spirit of the living God will deal with them in such a way, oh God. Father, they can so surrender and find you tonight in the pardon of their sins, Lord, and Lord and Savior of their lives with a real experience of Calvary. Oh my God, may you grant it. We commit everyone to your hands as we leave this place. May your divine presence go with us and take us safely. Watch over us and protect us, oh God, upon these busy roads, the dangerous roads, the demonic spirits, oh God, behind them motor car wheels, oh God, trying to kill your children on the road. May the angel of the Lord go with us, surround us, overshadow us, and take us safely and bring us back safely another time. Amen.
We give you glory. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation tonight. We thank you for the way the Spirit spoke so precisely, so expressly to the word tonight. May we build up in the faith of this hour. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for his glory. Amen, and amen, and amen. You may have your seat as we sing, Jesus be the Lord of all. Let's lift your hands, worship him tonight as we sing this song, Jesus I surrender all. Some of you have to go, some of you are bound to go. If you want to stay back, worship those who have to stay. You worship and you pray for them that have to go. And may by the grace of God, we meet here Sunday morning, should God time in the Lord's life. And may we come expecting and may we enter into something even greater and more real. Amen. And more he could change us and make us in his own image and likeness. God bless you. Amen. While I keep playing softly, amen, I just forgot a little announcement. Just keep in the spirit and listen. Amen. On Sunday morning, we'll be picking up an offering for the partition of the building. After being worked out for all the wood, we make all the partition of all the rooms, the sanctuary, all these things. We have finished the ceiling, and now the partitions in the rooms, the mother's room, the children's room, the offices, the different places. And the estimate is $15,000. We worked it out at $50 per person. 300 people at $50 would be $15,000 to have that covered. And on Sunday morning, God's willing, we would like to pick up that offering. Some of you, I don't know what your status is going to be, your financial status by weekend, but God can make ways and God can show you ways, and you can come to that door Sunday ready to give that offering unto the Lord Jesus Christ for the work on the building. Amen. So by the grace of God, just remember that each person $50 for that offering. Amen. And I trust that we will just see, even as this building comes to its completion, that other one comes to completion too, by the grace of God. Amen. Jesus be the Lord of all. Just sing. Now lift your hand. Jesus, I surrender. Then surrender if you really mean it.
Jesus.
Ah. Only then he can truly be Lord.
Surrender.
Oh, may he put that spirit of submission upon us, every one of us.
Time, Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus. Jesus, I surrender. Dismissed tonight, and those of you who have to leave now can do so at this time, and those who like to come forward and pray at the altar can also do so. Amen. Let's sing this chorus. He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. He touched me.
One more time.